Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You heard some playful candor about the political headaches associated with legalized marijuana in Colorado from that state's governor, John Hickenlooper, a few moments ago. But with the changing of the laws regarding marijuana comes the inevitable conversation change around the dinner table in homes and communities as well, where medical marijuana is available, as well as in the two states where it is legal, Colorado and Washington. Here's a number. Between 2005 and 2013, the percentage of eighth graders who saw regular marijuana use as risky fell from 74 to 61%. For high school seniors, it went from 58 to 40%. That's from an annual survey from the National Institute on Drug Abuse. Taken with other federal data, marijuana usage among high schoolers seems to be steadily increasing, while use of alcohol and harder drugs is decreasing. In addition, the active agent in pot, THC, is much more highly concentrated in the pot available today than was ever the case a generation ago. To help us understand what's going on here is Roger Roffman, a professor emeritus at the University of Washington School of Social Work. He's been studying the effects of marijuana use on adults and teens for over 25 years. Let's start with you, Roger, for a moment. We've also got a parent on the line who's dealing with this directly. Roger, what's the public health issue right now as states like Washington and Colorado move into a fully legalized pot zone?
Well, the public health issues, of course, cross both teenagers and adults. One of the concerns is, will more people drive under the influence of marijuana? Will more people who use marijuana use it heavily and become dependent? But for teenagers, the concern really is, will more teenagers have access to marijuana? And will more begin using it early in their teenage years and use it heavily?
Alex Sabia is a mother, two kids, age 16 and 12, on the line from Seattle. Alex, welcome.
Thank you.
How terrifying is the conversation about pot around your dinner table, or is it just another one of those things?
I think it's not terrifying at all, but there is a concern, of course, that I have about pot use in teenagers. And with my 16-year-old in particular, we've started having discussions I've been having these discussions for about 8 or 10 years with them. So it's nothing new. I think what's new now is that with the legalization, there is a question of more access for sure.
And does that more access, Roger Roffman, mean that kids are going to be acquiring, this THC agent from pot earlier and that has developmental issues at age 16 or at age 12?
You know, I think there are definitely developmental issues. And so we really want to prevent young people from using marijuana, beginning using marijuana early and using it heavily. But the question of access is not something that has suddenly run out of the barn when marijuana was legalized. I mean, young people were telling us in surveys that they easily were able to obtain marijuana long before marijuana became legalized. So the real challenge is how to do what Alex is doing, how to have more families have that conversation, begin early, have multiple conversations, and to influence the norms of young people as to what's cool and what's not cool, not simply to rely on preventing access.
So, Alex, from your kids' perspective, is legalization reducing the coolness factor for pot, and is that likely to reduce an interest in it?
I don't think so. That's a very good question that I haven't thought about. For me, legalization of marijuana, the reason that I voted to legalize was simply to regulate and tax. So the regulation, I'm thinking down the road, there are going to be just like cigarettes, which have higher nicotine or lower nicotine. It'll be the same thing with pot, so that maybe there will be a teen pot that's cool. That's kind of along the lines that I'm thinking. For me, though, it's important for my kids to know where I stand on it, which is that I'm against any kind of consumption of pot, although I'm not against drinking. And I'm against it for a couple of different reasons. And I think the conversations that I have with my kids are different from when my parents would have had them as well. My parents would have said, it's bad for you, don't do it. I trust that you won't do it. My stand is that I'm pretty sure that at some point my 12-year-old and my 16-year-old will be trying it. What I'm trying to do is make sure that it's under safe circumstances.
Your 16-year-old's already tried it, right?
I would not know that. I actually don't know the answer to that.
All right. How do you reconcile the issue of drinking is okay, but smoking pot you're against? And how do you throw cigarettes into all of this? The public health risks there, of course, are completely clear.
Right. And I'm totally against anything that you're going to put into your lungs. Eating it is another thing altogether, but I'm still personally against it. So the way that I reconcile that is, number one, I'm of European descent. My family, when I was growing up, we were allowed to drink wine at dinner. My kids, when we're around the dinner table, that's not something that I'm going to say no to. But pot, my understanding is that we really don't have as much information about pot. THC, as we have about alcohol. Roger, you might tell me different.
All right, well, let's get a final thought from Roger. Alex Sabia, thanks so much. Roger?
I'd like the listeners to be aware that there's really a very helpful booklet on parents planning to have a conversation with young people about marijuana. And it's on a website, and the website name is learnaboutmarijuana.org. learnaboutmarijuanawa.org. And on that website, it's a University of Washington website, there is a booklet that can be downloaded for parents on how to prepare for a conversation with young people about marijuana.
Well, Roger, thanks so much. Roger Hoffman is a professor emeritus at the University of Washington School of Social Work. And Alex Sabia, Washington State parent of two kids aged 16 and 12. Alex, particularly, thanks so much for letting us into your dinner table conversations there. Alex and Roger, thanks.
Thank you.
Back to the middle now. If you're in the median income zone in your community, what's that feel like? From Richmond Beach, California, I'm probably middle to low income bracket in my community, but upper income bracket nationally. It's all relative. We'd love to know your story. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Very different experiences around the country. Much more at thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is supported by Lumosity.com, the brain training program designed by neuroscientists and used by 50 million people, created to improve memory and attention. More at Lumosity.com.